Okay, let's start out. Let's we talk about the prohibition of lo tachlo. It's the 10th commandment. So I guess the question is when the Torah tells you not to covet, not to desire other people's stuff, right? Is that reasonable? I mean, I guess it is reasonable. Is it reasonable for God to command us not to feel a certain way?
I thought it was because it could lead to something else, that it could lead to you stealing something.
Okay, so do you only violate when you... So this is like a Torah fence, this is like a fence that the Torah is creating here?
If it's emotion, and if emotions are involuntary...
Right, so it's a question, right? Can you control emotions? And there's another way to formulate this question, which is it natural to desire things or not? Like, you know, is it something like in the normal state of affairs? Is the Torah commanding you to be like almost superhuman or to engage in unnatural behavior? I think it's like related to that question. So it's interesting. Do you actually have to take action in order to? So you have like the mechilta, the very first source is lo tachmod. You might think maybe you only violate lo tachmo with speech. So the pasuk says, so he wants to say that so the mechilta says you only violate lo tachmo if it actually leads to action.
Right.
That's not necessarily the simple.
Yeah, you're not designing something.
The simple understanding is if you have that feeling, that emotion, you would violate it. I'm not saying it would, but here it's saying like, you know, something like, what's the sheer, what's the amount? Like, you know, like you have to, kazai, so this, like, what's the sheer, the amount of desire that you have to have? So much so that you take action. That's what the Mechilta, and the Rambam says it very clearly in Hilchos Gezeila, Perek Aleph Halachates, it's Kol Achomid Abdo Amaso Obeso. Anyone who covets the slave, the maidservant of the house, or the instruments of his utensils of his friend, O kol davar shef shelo sheiknehu mimenu, or anything that is possible to buy from him, v'hichbid alav b'ra'im, and he started doing bad things to him, or v'hivtzer bo, and he kept on like pestering him, ad shelachol mimenu, until he took it from him. Even if you gave him a lot of money, he's over below tas. He should have a low tachmod. Okay, so the Rambam, following the Mechilta, says you only violate the Torah prohibition of low sachmod if you take action. And there's actually perhaps a proof for this, that low tachmod is only when you have action. In Shmos Lamed Daled, the Torah says that, you know, you're supposed to make a pilgrimage. And it says that, right, you're going to go 3 times a year, leave your homes and go to Yerushalayim. What's the danger if you leave your homes, what's the danger if everyone leaves their homes, go to Yerushalayim?
Someone else will take it,
right? That's why people say, you know, you shouldn't post on Facebook when you're on vacation.
Yeah, that's right. Only when you come home.
Yeah, come back. People are going to... Okay, so some will say you shouldn't post on Facebook anytime. Some will say you shouldn't post Facebook on vacation because then people know. And then, you know. So the Torah says that it promises you. It says, "Ki yorish goyim mi padecha v'yirchavti eskulecha." Right, go three times a year, right, to go up to Yerushalayim, and then it says, "I will drive out the nations from before you, and I will widen your borders." And no one will be chomed your land when you go out for 3 times a year. Now, what kind of bracha is it if it simply means to desire? Oh, special bracha. If you make a pilgrimage, no one will desire land. Like, who cares? What kind of bracha is that? No.
Because they're too busy because they're also going up. And
no, but there's no one's going to... But the bracha is really what... No one's going to act on it. So then this could be a proof for this idea that chemda, the violation of lo tachmod, is only when they take action. Related to this is potentially the difference between... What's another word for desire or covet in Hebrew?
Tava.
Taiva, right? Tava. So what does it mean to lo tachmon and lo tetaveh? So the what would the Rambam say? The difference would be lo tachmon is taking action, and tava is simply desiring something. That's one possibility, right? The Malbim has a different opinion. The Malbim says no. V'yesh hevdel ben chemda uvein tava. There's a difference between chemda and tava. She'achemda hu mitzad hachushim davar hanechmar lamari ayin. So chemda is when you desire something that you see, something that's beautiful to you see. Ubalarov machmar ayin machmar inehem. So because of the desiring from the eye, desiring of their eyes, vataiva, who mitzad hanefesh hamitaveh, after she'inaro ata lamarasayim. So the Malbim is of the opinion, the difference between tava and chemda is you see something and you want it. Tava is you desire something you don't see. So, but what that means is, at least according to the Malbim, for example, lo tachmo then would be a prohibition of simply desiring, which sort of raises the question, how could Hashem command us to desire something? Simply desire something. So I want to share, I guess, three different approaches here. Okay, three different approaches. The first approach is probably the most famous. The Ibn Ezra says, "Lo tachmod anashim rabim yitmahu." Many people wonder, "Alzos a mitzvah." Eich yeh adam shlo yachmod davar yafeh libo. How could someone not covet something nice in his heart? Kol mashu nechmad lamarinav. If you see something, how can someone simply not desire it? Like you go to.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between, like, say I see a car that I like.
Right.
Like, wow, I'd like to have a car like that.
Right. Versus want that car.
That car, right? Right. That's really the difference.
Right. Okay, but so what do you violate? Like, can you say, but let's say you really like, you really like that person's stuff. Like, why can you say, oh, I really wish I had it. Is that normal? Is it natural? Like, is that bad? Can you control the feeling? So even Ezra says, I'm going to give you a parable. Da, you should know. Kiish kafri, sheish lo das nechona. Let's say a villager who has correct thoughts. V'hu ra'a bas melech shu yafa. And he sees the princess who's very beautiful. Lo yachmod osa blibo sheish kavima. He's not going to desire her to be with her. When I always read this Ibn Ezra, I always think of the movie Aladdin. You know, the princess is not going to want to marry a street rat, right?
Royalties.
What?
He needs to get royalties.
To get royalties, right. So he says, ki yada, ki zera lo yitachein. It's not appropriate. Val tachshov zera kafri shuk echad mi ham shugayim. And like this, don't think that this villager is one of these crazy people. She yitaveh, she yielo, what's the word? Can I find la'uf v'ashamayim v'lo yitachein liyos. Ki asher ein adam, he said, like, no one's going to want to be with his mother, even though she's beautiful. Like, in other words, there's certain things that you know is off limits. So just like someone knows that a relative is off limits, so a villager, he knows he has no shot at the princess. So therefore, anyone who thinks about it should know, ki sha yafa. That if you really believe in God and God gives you what you're supposed to get, then you can control your emotions and not desire what someone else has. And that's
the examples that come to mind are the two songs that I bring up is when Clapton wrote Layla, you know the song Layla. He wrote it about George Harrison's wife because he was in love with George Harrison's wife and she divorced Harrison, married him.
Oh, wow.
And the same thing happened with
the stomach. So that's the action. The action is what the vice creating a song.
Mick Jagger wrote Angie about David Bowie's wife and she dumped David Bowie and married. Those people are on like the same kind of level. Well,
okay.
Maybe not.
Okay.
It's interesting
okay.
how that does occur. Like, yeah. Where they want that.
They want that thing, right. Life. So even Ezra says, okay, so that's the Maisa. I wonder if the Ram would call that a Maisa, take action there. But the Ibn Ezra says that if you truly have faith in Hashem, that Hashem gives you what you're supposed to get, so then you can overcome this desire. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. Now, related to this, the Beit HaLevi says, It's a big piece, but we'll try to get through some of it at least. He says, "Lo tachmon." He named Rabim. No, it's still there in the first size. He named Rabim Tamu. Many people ask, "Hey, Achshayach Azahara Alzeh." What can you do if your heart desires something? Right, so he said, he quotes Ibn Ezra that, you know, you should be, what your friend has should be so distant from you, you shouldn't covet it. Just like a villager would not desire the princess. Because you're only going to want something that you think you have a shot at getting. This is a beautiful explanation. It's pleasant. Even without this mashal, it's good. Why? That everyone can understand himself, he can clarify the im yitaveh adam leizeh davar tava hayoter gdola etzlo kol echad lefi tuvo. Because if a person desires something that he really wants, according to his nature, via gam karov lasigo tavato, and you're about to get it, veilech acharaha, and you desire something, you go after it, vaz yitzahar bor bo kaish v'rak derechu lucho hu al gav hanahar kafui. Okay, so he says, if someone, let's say your Yitzhahara burns you, you want to get something that's not yours, and the Yitzhahara is burning inside you, and then what happens? And you go on a Nahar HaKafui Mikerach, you go on a river that's like frozen ice, frozen over, Uvederech Vitzato Nechlaka Raglo Alakfor, and then you're running, because you're running through the Avera, and then what happens? You trip on the snow, on the ice. You're about to fall. At the moment that your foot slips, it's about to fall. Now, let's say you have a taiva. What gets you to stop the taiva? When you almost got caught. When something bad happens. Right? So what stops it? So that the fear of falling, that stops all his entire desire. Hashem created that in the nature of every creation. If you really want something, but you're afraid you're going to get caught, so then that fear can counteract your desire. And when the Torah says, don't do it, so it's an interesting take. He just says that, yeah, it's natural to desire things, but if we truly, I guess, believe in, was it fear of punishment, then that will overcome desire. Yira sa'onesh, that will overcome your desire. Okay, so what we got the Rambam, you only invite when you take action. We have the Ibn Ezra, who says, if you truly believe that God gives you what you need, then you're good to go. And we have the Beit HaLevi, who says, yeah, you have this natural desire, but fear of punishment will overcome that. Depends how much we fear punishment, I guess, right? I guess it's like the flip side of Ibn Ezra. It's like a lower level, I guess, right? Like, Ibn Ezra, so you have this, like, faith that, you know, God gives them what they need. And the Beit HaLevi is sort of like, if you believe you'll be punished, so you don't want to do it. You know, so you can overcome that.
Both of those opinions seem to imply that the issue is really, maybe it's not the desire itself, but it's like some sign of an underlying
lack of emunah, right.
Lack of emunah.
Right.
But really the issue is the lack of emunah, and this is
right.
Like...
Right. Although I think one's more external, one's more internal, right? The Ibn Ezra is like, it's a lack of emunah that whatever you have, and the Beis Halevi just saying, if you believe in reward and punishment, you know it's wrong. Like, I think the Ibn Ezra is much more internal. Like, you really feel like, I really don't deserve this if God didn't give it to me. Whereas the Beis Halevi says, it's a very interesting question, because I think, like, when we think about reward and punishment, we think about, like, what should be our motivation for mitzvot. So I think, like, we want to say, you know what should motivate me to do mitzvot? love of God. I want to. You know, we don't want. We don't. If we think it's very petty, right. That should be transactional. But at the same time, so I think that's true. I think transactional is the lowest level, but I think it's sometimes necessary. That's the reality. Like if you believe in it, yeah, that's right. So a Kava Kabbalah. So he has a different take on this. He says, same question. Another fascinating take, and he quotes the Ibn Ezra. Right, he says in the second line, he says he quotes the mashal of the kafri, of the villager. I think it's Vira. Okay, so he says the following. He says he wants to say the following. Achar Shahaya, the third line. Achar Shahaya Tziva Osadu Ala Ava. Hashem commanded us about love. Be'amro, it's interesting. I asked this question to my students this week. We can overcome the prohibition of lo tachbod if we fulfill the mitzvah of v'ahavta. They said what? L'reyacha kamocha, right? If you love your friend, you realize that Hashem gives him whatever he needs. He said no. He says what? V'amro v'ahavta es Hashem b'chol levavcha. So he says ma mikra chas imir chas v'ahavta Hashem bil vavcha. What does it mean if you said you should love Hashem with your heart? What does it mean b'chol levavcha, with all your heart? What's the intent? The intent is that your heart should be full of love of God. Kolomar, meaning to say, shelo yeh b'lev rak avas Hashem levad. You should only have love of Hashem in your heart. Lo sheyeh bo gam avas Hashem, gam chelas olam. You should have love of God and love of desires of the world. Shim kain. Because if you have desires of other things in the world, ain't a molly b'av Hashem, you're not full of love of God. Kim chetchil Hashem, v'chetchil Hashem. Half for God, half for you. Belonik b'machal v'avcha, it's not all your heart. Hine kolish hamakayim zos ha-mitzvah. Anyone who fills this mitzvah of achrei shechashka nafshel yishanek al Hashem, his heart is drawn to enjoy God. V'cholsa l'davka bo b'av ha-rabba. And you want to cling to God with a full love, b'choleis lachzus b'nov Hashem, to see, to have a vision with the pleasantness of Hashem, to be in the glory of God, v'lito mitam ha-melech, lisani b'ziv kvodo, and to taste of the king, to enjoy from the glory of his honor, etc., etc. Then what's going to be? Then you're not going to want to desire other people. You're not going to desire anything else. In other words, what he's saying here, also, it's not about emunah, that when Hashem, it's a little different. It's not like, I think the lowest would be the malbim, right? If you fear sin, if you fear sin, then hopefully that will overcome your tzahara. The Ibn Ezra is like, if you realize this is what Hashem wants, that Hashem gives to everyone what they deserve, so you think about it, and you realize, it's not for me. You're still struggling with it. Kaba Kabbalah is basically saying, with Mecklenburg, he's saying that if all of your aspirations are simply what? All about God. That again, we don't say zero-sum game. It's like the more that we're full of thinking only about spiritual aspirations, the less we're going to be thinking about these other things. It's sort of like, you know, sometimes I've spoken about, you know, trying to avoid speaking Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table. So for certain people, the way that they struggle with it, but they realize the wrong thing to do, they struggle, they really want it, but they realize maybe they're going to be punished for it, or they realize, you know, it's going to harm other people, it's the wrong thing to do, so they're not going to speak Lashon Hara. And other people, they want to talk about ideas and Torah and sing Zmiros, and like, so it's not, they're not like fighting Yetzer Hara, they're spending their whole Shabbos table engaged in meaningful conversation that doesn't even come up, and I think that's his point here. That to the extent that we believe in v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, we're not going to be worried about lo tachbod. So you can control it again, but as long as it's b'chol levavcha. Right? If your hearts are full of avas Hashem, there's no room to covet material possession of the other. I think a lot of these explanations are basically taking the position that it's actually natural to desire what other people have. And it's only belief in God or desiring to connect with God that like that that can overcome that. In other words, it's natural, but we're challenged to transcend that. And in fact, the Abar Benel makes an interesting point. And he says the following. He says, Chvar zakharti shebo ha diburim ha heachronim ha'ila bekitzur muflag. The last five of the ten dibros are very short. They're logical. They're things that humanity would think about. The first three were commanded to Noach, right? To Bnei Noach, right? Murder, adultery, and stealing. Those are all. Those are three of the Shemitz Bnei Noach. V'lachach lo markan bahem milas reyacha. If you notice that lo tirtzach, lo tidof, lo tignov. But the last two, 9 and 10, lotana bereacha, lotachmos base reacha. So he's saying is, Rosalomar, lotirzach, lotidav, right? He doesn't say lotirzach et reacha, lotidav et reacha, lotidav base reacha. Why? The fisha kvar haya kolam muzar leyan. The non Jews were already commanded of Dibra 6, 7, and 8. The Israel, hayu kulam reim mi pa'asator shekiblu, visachtuba. And the Jewish people, they're considered Re'im already. B'dibur lotana amar bereacha. And lotachma, it says bereacha. Why? So he says that this is something on a higher level. If you think about it, commandments 9 and 10 are about speech and about thought. Right? Lotana, don't speak. And lotachma is about thought. So maybe the point is that it's almost... 6, 7, and 8 are about actions. And I would argue that, again, Hashem's commanding the Jewish people about it, but that's part of Shem Mitzvei Noach. And maybe then it's natural to control our actions. It's part of human nature, social contract. It's more natural. It's not natural to maybe control our words too hard, maybe not to control our words or our feelings. And it might be natural for, like, the average person to gossip about his neighbor. It's normal. It's natural. But this is not something that Hashem can expect humans to abide by, and therefore it's not one of the Shemitz Bnei Noach. In other words, non-Jews can gossip all they want, and they don't violate Shemitz Bnei Noach. However, we as Jews are committed to transcend nature. It's our belief that it's our belief in Hashem, our love of Hashem, and our devotion to Hashem with all our heart that will transform ourselves into holy people, not only in action, but also in word and deed as well. And so I think if we're asked the question, can we control our words, our thoughts, our desires and feelings? So maybe we can answer that it's actually humanly impossible, but our challenge is to rise above humanity, to love God with all our heart, and to connect with, our reacha, lotana breacha, lotachmon base reacha, because of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.